Once again, even CJ, we all believed a lie, didn't we? And that's what's so interesting about this thought that we've been doing this month is just how many lies we actually believe, and do we even know it when we do believe a lie? Now, most of the time, it doesn't matter. Most of the time, maybe we believe a lie, but we learn later, or someone tells us, or maybe we believe it and it just really doesn't affect it. But sometimes, believing a lie can be a really big deal. In fact, believing a lie can sort of shade everything else in your life, and believing a lie can affect everyone around you. And this week, we're going to talk about a lie that's pretty difficult to deal with, and it's like many lies, it's a lie that has some basis in truth. You know, it's really easy to determine if something is a lie, if it's just clearly false or you think it's false, but what about those lies that are based in truth, that have truth in them? Those are so difficult. And so I want to talk to you about a lie like that. And it happened during the current wars, which was 1881 to about 1892. You may recognize these two characters here. We have Thomas Edison, who didn't invent the light bulb, but invented the first practical light bulb. And he was the guy who famously tried over 1,000 different filaments and then said, I didn't have never failed. I just found 1,000 ways not to make a light bulb, basically. I am angry at Thomas Edison, I'll just be honest with you, because he also invented the phonograph. And so we have to hear all those people go, it's so much better on vinyl, man. You can't even imagine. And that's why I'm angry at him. And then Nikola Tesla, also a great inventor, invented many things. We're going to talk about like the argument they had and the difficulty that they ran into. I believe he created steampunks, which makes me a little angry. But if you think about Thomas Edison and Nikola Tesla were sort of like the Steve Jobs, like Microsoft Apple in a sense. Like, because Thomas Edison was known as the Wizard of Menlo Park. He was very famous, very rich. And in fact, Nikola Tesla, who was an immigrant, actually worked for him for some time. And in the beginning, the reason why they call this time period the current wars is in the beginning of electricity, Edison developed a commercially feasible bulb that would last, which is weird because bulbs used to last longer than they do. Like, I spend about 79% of my life just changing light bulbs at church at home. And I don't know why. Even I have LED bulbs outside that said they would last 29 years, and I've changed them twice this year. I think it's just a curse. But anyway, like, he develops this feasible bulb, but the problem is there's no real electrical service. There's no electricity running to homes. And so Thomas Edison develops a system based on direct current, and he electrified Manhattan, was the first city in America electrified, with sort of generators within a 1 mile or so many block radius. And then because direct current works great, but it doesn't transmit very well over power lines, it's difficult, and we'll explain why in a second, why it doesn't step up to high voltages very easy or back down through transformers very easy. You kind of had to put a transformer and a generator inside of each, not each building, but each couple blocks area. And so that started happening, and they had street lights, and some homes were electrified. But under the direct current system, you would basically, everyone would have to have a generator within their neighborhood or within their house or within their block. And it was noisy and dirty. And if you've ever ran a generator when the power ran out, imagine in 1881 what that must have been like. It was noisy and dirty. And so Nikola Tesla came along with the idea of alternating current, which had the added sort of benefit of being able to be transmitted over long distances feasibly and reliably. Without a lot of loss in the power generation and power lines. And so he came up with this system where you could put one power plant somewhere and then run transmission lines to a city and then electrify an entire city or an entire area of the map with one generation station, with one generator. Now, actually, Nikola Tesla worked for Thomas Edison's company for some time. Now, this story I've read, I'm not sure if it actually happened. It's one of those historical stories where you go, maybe it happened, maybe it didn't. Probably didn't happen the way we think, but the legend of it, and I'll say this, there's probably some truth to it, is that when Nikola Tesla came up with the idea of alternating current, it was because his boss, who worked for Thomas Edison, had said, I'll give $50,000. And that was like saying, I'll give $1 million. It was a huge amount of money. They were, in fact, at this point, Tesla was making, I believe, $18 a week. That tells you how big $50,000 was. And so the boss said, I'll give $50,000 for the person who can solve this transmission problem. And Nikola came up with alternating current. And when he brought it to his boss, he's like, I would like my $50,000, please. And his boss said, that was a joke. And that's supposedly the way this story went. And he offered him instead $10 a week, which wasn't bad, but Nikola actually quit because he turned down $28 a week because he thought he was getting $50,000. And supposedly the boss said, you would understand this was a joke if you were American. So there was a feud that developed. That's the story of how the feud developed. I've looked at several places, and some people say that's not how it happened. Others say there's truth to that. But a feud developed, and in fact, then Nikola Tesla went on later to work for Westinghouse, and if you recognize that name, that's still a company. And Westinghouse licensed his idea for alternating current. Now, I know you're like, oh, great history lesson. Thanks so much for filling me in. It's Trivia Sunday. But here's the thing about this. This isn't some story like, you know, remember when there were VCRs and Betamax and we don't use either one of them? This is a story that's still ongoing. There's still, I mean, even though this started in 1881, AC/DC still exists. And they actually started, that's a lie, but it seems like it, doesn't it? I was thinking that the other day, like my daughter came downstairs and got a 15-year-old daughter and she had AC/DC house shoes on. And I was like, how is that possible? Like, my parents wouldn't even let me, like, hang an AC/DC poster in my room because it was the devil, and you have house shoes with that. And I realized, like, oh, she's listening to oldies, to be ironic. Yeah, that's how it is. But no, not that AC/DC, but this idea of alternating current and direct current still part of our life. Now, this is the Don Record explanation. If you're an electrical engineer, I am sorry. But to get an idea how alternating current works and direct current works, I think we should at least try to understand that. Now, the way you were probably taught by your science teacher is that electrons move through a wire, and it's weird. We've even learned to learn that even a few years ago, we really didn't understand how electricity works, which kind of makes me laugh, that we always think we have it figured out, and then we go, oh, that's not really. The way I was taught, and my science teacher basically taught it like, you've got a hose filled with golf balls, and those are electrons, and they're moving through the hose, and you complete the circuit so they can go in a circle, and that's direct current. That's not really the way it works. Actually, the way electrical energy, and it's just energy, moves through electrons is more like, and you can try this experiment if you'd like to experience it, like if you go bowling, you know how the giant bowling ball comes back to the ball return? Try this, kids. If you stick your finger between the last two balls and the ball comes up and hits it, it'll hurt, right? Because it transmitted the energy through all of the balls, even though they didn't seem to move. Try that at home. But here's the thing about it. Like, actually, the way energy moves through a wire and through a circuit is more like how a bicycle chain works. Like a bicycle chain, if the chain breaks, you can't go anywhere. But if the chain is connected, it goes around and around, and we pedal, and we're all familiar with that. That would be direct current. The energy of the electricity, shall we say, is moving through the electrons in the circuit and back in a, I don't know if it's counterclockwise or clockwise, it doesn't matter, but it moves in a circle basically through the circuit. Now, you can also, if you're riding your bike, and I don't, this isn't a perfect analogy, have you ever done that thing where you just kind of like ratchet the pedal ever a little bit, like you're coasting, you just kind of go down and then back, and then down and then back, and then, that's alternating current, because alternating current sort of switches directions 60 times a second, and you're like, thanks for the electricity lesson. But I want you to understand, it's like it's still the same energy, just one goes around and around and around, and the other one sort of goes back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, and provides power both directions. Now, we still have both kinds of electricity. in America 2018, we have AC things like your refrigerator is run on AC, on alternating current. Your iPhone is run on direct current, and that's why you have the little AC adapters everywhere, because we have to actually adapt the alternating current that comes out of our walls into the direct current that our phones need, our tablets need, your TV. It's alternating current. Believe it or not, Teslas actually use alternating current because they use AC motors, and your gasoline car probably uses mostly direct current, even though it has an alternator change, and you don't care about any of that. But there's both are still part of our lives. Now, here's where the big lie came in. Because as you can imagine, Edison, Thomas Edison, the wizard of Menlo Park, a great inventor, maybe not a very nice guy, but a great inventor who brought us the phonograph and light bulbs, and later on actually a movie projector, he didn't invent that, but he sort of consolidated that with his electric light, and we brought us movie projection. He was not extremely happy, obviously, that he wouldn't be providing all these generators for all of these direct current systems. And so when Westinghouse and Tesla came out with the idea of alternating current and began to electrify entire grids of cities with a remote power station, he was not very happy. And so what he said, and I want to give you the quote, he said, "Just as certain as death, Westinghouse will kill a customer within 6 months after he puts a system in of any side." Basically what he said is, if you use alternating current, you're gonna die. Someone in your city, people are gonna die if they use alternating current. Now, Thomas Edison was sort of a showman. He was a really good presenter. He was sort of a modern CEO. It's a little gruesome, but what he did to illustrate this is he actually did shows, and this is really sad and gross, but where he would electrocute stray dogs with alternating current and go, "See, it kills a dog," and it's really sad and awful. And here's another thing about Thomas Edison that's really strange, is he was very much against capital punishment, but he actually developed an electric chair. The first electric chair was developed by Thomas Edison so that he could sort of show that alternating current was dangerous. And that's that's actually a true story. But he actually developed the electric chair and goes, "See, we use alternating current to kill people." But this was a lie. This was a lie that he perpetrated, that alternating current would kill you and DC current was safe. And you can decide if this is true or not. I'll give you a hint. He actually did. This is really sad. He actually electrocuted a elephant in 1903. Not part of the current wars, but he just got really good at electrocuting animals. So they needed to kill an elephant. Yeah, I'm bumming you all out, right? Like, the elephant killed three guys, and they gave him electric flip-flops and killed him. So it was really, really bad. But here's the thing. Like, in spite of this lie, I don't know why I threw that, but I shouldn't have thrown that in. Here's the truth, though. People die of electrocution every year. I mean, that's just true, right? Like, people die of electrocution, and it doesn't have to be alternating current. Like, direct current will kill you as well. And the reason why is because our hearts run off electricity. They're signaled with electricity. And so if we fry that signal with, and it's amazing, like, how little electricity it actually takes to stop our heart, to fry our brain. Not a lot. It's just the fact that our hands and our skin are pretty good insulators. They don't conduct electricity very well. So unless they're moist or certain circumstances, like if you have a cut or something, you're more susceptible to electrical shock. But it doesn't take a lot of electricity to kill someone. So we see signs like, that's true. We see signs like this, and you've probably seen these. I like this high voltage sign because it actually has a mean electrical guy who will kill you. That's what I like about it. So we see signs like this that says, "Danger, high voltage," and we've come to know that means, like, stay away from those things because they could kill you. Now here's the thing about it, and I want to tell you, and please don't go running out of the service right now and go lick a transformer, because we have to go far, but I have to tell you something about this sign. That's actually a lie. High voltage won't kill you. High voltage won't necessarily kill you at all. In fact, you've experienced extremely high voltage and lived to tell about it, because if you've ever walked across your carpet and then touched the doorknob, especially this time of year when it starts getting dry, like you walked across, you probably, if you've been shocked by static electricity, that's like 50,000 volts for it to jump. Like, so you've been shocked by 25,000 to 50,000 volts and lived to tell about it. So here's the deal. High voltage won't kill you. It's the amperage that kills you. It's the power. Now here's the thing about it. Here's why. Please, definitely obey these signs. Because even though, maybe that's a lie, even though high voltage won't necessarily kill you, where there is high voltage, and someone just walked out, they're going to lick a transformer, and I'm going to feel bad. Hold on. You should obey this sign, because even though high voltage won't kill you, the amperage behind it will kill you, and probably because people think of voltage, a high amperage sign people would just ignore. And here's the thing about high voltage, like extremely high voltage, because with AC systems, they'll step it up to 440 or even higher. It can actually arc through the air and get you without you even touching it if you were to go into some of these enclosures with the transformers, et cetera. In fact, you've seen air conduct electricity because you've all seen lightning, which is hundreds of thousands of volts. And so this is where I wanted to sort of talk to you about this morning. This idea that lies can contain truth. Like the lie that Edison perpetrated, this idea that, hey, if you use alternating current, it's going to kill people and people are going to die, sort of true. I mean, people have died from alternating current, but no more so than would have died had we stuck with direct current. And had we stuck with direct current as Edison wanted, because he sold direct current generators instead of alternating current generators, at that time, we would have had to have many, many generators close together. It wouldn't have been economically feasible for people in the country to have power. It would have changed our world had this lie stuck. It would have changed. And on the other hand, people go, well, and this is a common thing we say today, oh, if it would just save one life, maybe, you know, we shouldn't have had alternating current. Well, here's the deal. Think about how many fires happened. It was an incredible number I was reading. How many fires happened from kerosene lamps? In that same time, like, people's lives were saved by electrifying their houses instead of using kerosene lamps, because we don't even think about that. Candles and lamps, like, we think of occasionally starting up a candle in a jar and going, oh, that's pretty. Like, you have to light your house with fire. Like, fires were so much more common then than they are today, and so many people died. But like, it was amazing, because as I was reading about this, like, a lot of people believe this lie. In fact, there's a great story, and this, I believe, is true, that Benjamin Harrison, the president at the time, put electric lighting into the White House in 1891, but was afraid to touch the switches. And because they were nice people, they had their staff turn the lights on and off. True story. Like, I read that, I was like, oh, that's so great. Like, the president of the United States is scared to touch a light switch because he thinks he's going to die. More than willing to let the staff do it. Your mileage may vary. Think about that. It's been going on a very, very long time. But lies like this, they have some basis in truth. People do die of electrocution, obviously. And so here, I want to talk to you about another lie that's sort of like this lie that reminds me, and we'll come back, because it reminds me of that lie, and it's this lie because it's so dangerous. And it's this little lie that we find ourselves believing, that sin, this idea of sin, is breaking God's rules. And in fact, you've probably heard that lie, and in fact, you might believe that lie. You go, well, yeah, of course I went to Sunday school, Don. I know that sin is breaking God's rules. I know that, you know, Eve sinned by breaking God's rule about eating apples, even though that wasn't it. But, you know, or I know that Moses, did you know that Moses was the first guy to download content from a cloud onto a tablet? Anyway, that was my dad joke of this morning, and my daughter went, oh. But anyway, like, Moses went up and got the Ten Commandments, and if you broke the Ten Commandments, if you broke God's ten rules, then you were sinning. And so you go, well, no, that's how it works, isn't it, Don? No, that's a lie. And I want to tell you why. And I want to tell you why this is so, so important and so dangerous. Because here's the real deal with sin. Paul said this, and this is the real truth of the matter. Paul said this. He said, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord." There's nothing in there about breaking God's rules. And this wage idea, he's saying the payment you will get, the payoff of sin, is death. Like, you sin, you die. Now, from the very beginning, this was contentious. This is the first lie, and the first sin happened on the same day. Let me read this to you from Genesis 3. It says, "Now the serpent was the shrewdest of all the wild animals that the Lord God had made. And one day he asked the woman, 'Did God really say you must not eat the fruit from any of the trees in the garden?'" Notice he's like, "You can't eat any of these trees." But Eve corrects him. She said, "Of course we may eat fruit from the trees in the garden," the woman replied. "It's only the fruit from the tree in the middle of the garden that we're not allowed to eat. God said, 'You must not eat it or even touch it. And if you do, you will die.'" "You won't die," the serpent replied to the woman. "God knows," God's holding out on you, "God knows your eyes will be opened as soon as you eat it. And you will be like God, knowing both good and evil." See, notice, from the very beginning, this idea of sin and the first lie were tied together. And what Satan did is exactly what good lies do. It sort of mixes a little truth in, because he said, "You're not going to die." And in fact, think about it, she didn't immediately. But she certainly died later, and all of us, Scripture says, are dying because of it. And I also want you to notice this other little lie. There's a little lie that Eve told. Like, immediately, if you read what God said, "Hey, you can have anything here except for that tree." And notice, and I don't know if this is Eve's lie, or if my guess is, because Adam was a man, Adam probably lied. Adam probably said, "Oh, by the way, you're new around here. Don't even touch that tree in the middle," right? Like, that's what you would say if you didn't want Eve to eat the tree. You'd go, "Don't go near it. Don't touch it. It's going to kill you." And so that's what Eve repeated. And it wasn't true. That's not what God said. God said, "Just don't eat it." He never even said, "Don't touch it." And so you and I can sort of relate to this lie. And it's a lie that all of us have been told, and a lie that all of us will tell our kids. It's kind of like this. Like, you tell your kids, if you stick anything in the outlet, you'll die, right? Like, if you're a good parent, you say that, and you put those annoying little plugs in there. My daughter just turned 15, and I just got rid of the last one of those in our house. And I'm not even joking. Like, I painted our house again this year, and I threw the last one away because my wife kept putting them back in for some reason. It was like a war going on. And here's the funny thing about it. Like, I have arthritis and no fingernails, so I was actually using metal objects to get that out. I was like, "That's going to kill me." And she goes, "I don't know. I feel safer. It keeps the electricity in." I was like, "No." So I actually, like, threw those things up. But you won't die if you stick things in the outlet, right? But we all tell our kids that. And why do we tell them that? We're like, "Stay away from the outlets. They're dangerous," because they are. But we don't really want them to grow up and not be able to plug stuff, become the president and not be able to plug things in, right? But it's sort of the same thing that happens with sin. You know, the Bible says, "For the wages of sin is death." And then we go, "Yeah, but I sinned like twice this morning during the sermon. I didn't die." Or I touched high voltage. I walked across the carpet this morning and 50,000 volts went through my finger to the doorknob. I didn't die. And it feels like that's a lie, that you won't die if you sin. And the truth is, you and I have probably been lied to about sin by good-hearted people, by preachers like me, by Christian school teachers, by moms and dads. And the idea, just like Eve, is like, "Hey, God said don't eat that, so don't even touch it." Like, I went to a Christian school when I was I got kicked out by the time I was like 14. But early on when I went to that school, everything was a sin. They were like certain that like they could keep you from sin by telling you everything. They said it was a sin to touch a girl, and I actually bumped into one and I didn't die. I was like, I'm in. This is good, you know? Like, it was so, that was unfortunate the way I said that. But like, it's weird, like, how we do that, and good-hearted people and parents, they lie about sin and go, this is sin, that's a sin, and then we do it and we go, well, that didn't kill me, it wasn't so bad. And so here's what I would say to you this morning, that saying that sin is breaking God's rules is sort of like saying that, you know, you'll be electrocuted if you break Underwriters Laboratories rules. Now, I know you don't know who Underwriters Laboratory is, but you've seen this UL listing on everything, right? Like, you've seen that on every appliance you buy, unless you buy, like, weird Taiwanese appliances, gray market off of eBay. You know, maybe I do because it is cheaper. But like, you've seen this. Underwriters Laboratory actually checks appliances to make sure they're safe. But this is true. This is actually true. This idea that we have that somehow, hey, God said not to do that, so when I sin, I'm breaking God's rule, and that's what causes the damage. No. It's like saying this, Underwriters Laboratory doesn't want me to stick my keys in the outlet. And it's like, no, that's not it at all. It's not about the rule of not sticking your keys in the outlet. It's about that will harm you. And that's the deal with God. Like, God is a loving father. God is someone who's lived so much longer than any of us will ever imagine. He has such a good handle on what's dangerous that we just don't. We're like little three-year-olds just jamming stuff in outlets. This is awesome. And so the truth is that rules are actually a pretty bad way to keep from sinning. This idea of like making rules will keep us from sinning, just like Eve said, hey, don't even touch that tree. Well, guess what? When she touched, you know how the sin started for her? I was thinking about this. She had to touch the apple before she ate it. That makes sense, right? Like, I don't know how you would eat it and not touch it. But literally, she grabbed that fruit, which probably wasn't an apple, but she grabbed the fruit and she touched it. She's like, oh my goodness, this didn't hurt me at all. That's a lie. And so these lies sort of immunize us from understanding what sin is. And here's the thing. It's difficult because there are lies like this lie that Thomas Edison told that are based in truth. And let's be honest, like, it sort of kept people safe, right? Like, if you said, hey, no electricity, no one would be electrocuted. Now, they wouldn't experience life as we know it now. Life would be a very, very different place. They would miss out on so many things. But these boundary lies that we tell, these ideas, these religious lies that we tell, we go, that's a sin, here, let me make this rule and I'll keep you from sinning. They do keep people from getting hurt, like Thomas Edison in a way tried to keep people from being hurt because people did die. In fact, as much as I'm saying he was a liar, Westinghouse wasn't great at safety, and so many, many people did die from early electricity. But maybe this is a better statement, right? What if we said this, that electricity is great? It's changed our lives. It's made us safer. It's made us healthier. We can't even imagine, like, when the power goes out, I just want to go to sleep because there's nothing left that I want to do. I mean, if you ever experienced that, you're like, I can't live like this. And so the truth is, rules don't work, but we just might need them anyway. They don't work. They don't keep us from sinning, but why do we put the little protective covers in the walls when we have three-year-olds? Because we want to protect them. We want to keep them from jamming stuff into the outlet. My little sister did that. She took the spout off one of those salt jars and just jammed it in the outlet and enjoyed it so much. She did it like three more times. It was amazing. Like, and she's a midwife now, so it didn't hurt her. I don't know. She lived. So I just want to, as we sort of wrap up, I want to give you an example from a pro at this. Jesus was tempted by Satan, and I'm really glad. So we have sort of the best, the tempter. We have the best liar, the best tempter facing off with the only man who never sinned. And this insight, I think, will help us this morning. And I want to read this. It's from Luke 4. It says, "Then Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan River. And he was led by the Spirit in the wilderness, where he was tempted by the devil for 40 days. Now, Jesus ate nothing all that time and became very hungry." No joke. "And then the devil said to him, 'If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become a loaf of bread.' But Jesus told him, 'No, the scriptures say people do not live by bread alone.' Then the devil took him up and revealed to him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. 'I'll give you the glory of these kingdoms and authority over them,' the devil said, 'because they are mine to give to anyone I please.'" Now, just a quick side note, notice Jesus said liar. I mean, Jesus didn't say liar, because actually this part is true. Satan is the god of this world at this point, and he was able to offer that. "I'll give it all to you if you will worship me." But Jesus replied, "The scriptures say you must worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Then the devil took him to Jerusalem, to the highest point of the temple. And he said, "If you're the Son of God, jump off. For the scriptures say he'll order his angels to protect and guard you. And they'll hold you up with their hands so you won't even hurt your foot on a stone." And Jesus responded, "The scriptures always say you must not test the Lord your God." Then when the devil had finished tempting Jesus, he left him until the next opportunity came. And I read that to you for this reason. Because if you are trying to just make rules that would allow us to not sin, then you would make rules like no bread making, which you keto freaks would go for. I know that. But like no bread making, no devil worshiping. Well, that's kind of a good rule. I'll go along with that one. And no temple diving. But it's interesting, because if you notice the pattern, it was that Satan was tempting Jesus to do good things in a wrong way, right? Like, there's nothing wrong with eating. Nothing wrong with eating bread, especially after 40 days. His physical body was probably about to die. And you know what? That whole idea of Jesus gaining all the nations and kingdoms of the world, going to happen. Read the end of the book. Like, that's going to happen, but Satan was offering him a shortcut, which was the wrong way to go about it. And this whole idea of like proving his power, that the angels would rescue him, oh, that was going to happen. It's called the resurrection, but my goodness, it was the wrong way. It was a shortcut. And so that's the trick. The reason why it's so hard to make rules that keep us from sin is because often the very rules are about good things. It's kind of like making rules about electricity. Like, electricity is great. It changes your life, but it's also very dangerous. And so God gave us so many things inside of our world, like sex and power and money and communication and food and work and family, and all of those things can be very good, but lead us to death through sin if we don't handle them properly and carefully. And so the truth is, if we believe that sin is just breaking God's rules, man, we fall for lies all the time, because it's not that simple. It's not a list of rules that we don't break. It's understanding, like here's the thing, like you could make all these rules about electricity, like don't stick your tongue in an outlet and don't lick a transformer. I don't know, all of them involve like licking things, but like, you know, like don't climb power lines. You could make those rules, but you'd probably find a way, if you just thought that like, oh, I can get past the rules, you'd find a way to get, like, you know, don't make toast in the shower. Like, yeah, that's true. But really what would be better, and I want the guys to come back up and play another song for us, is what if you could just go, I understand how electricity works and I appreciate it, but I'll protect myself from being harmed by it. I won't use it improperly, you know. I'm not going to put myself in harm's way, because it could kill me. And so I want to read this verse again, because you know what? Your parents loved you. Probably why they lied to you about electricity a lot. Like, ooh, you know, don't stick anything in the outlet. Ooh, high voltage will kill you. And all those things were with great heart. But see, God, through the Apostle Paul, actually loved us enough to tell us the truth about sin. Like, it'll kill you. It will kill you every time. Maybe not immediately, Maybe not even in this lifetime, but guess what? Sin kills everything. Sin kills relationships. Sin kills reputation. Sin kills livelihood. Sin kills everything that's good, and actually then in the end kills us. But I want you to notice, like, what God offered is a free gift of eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. So I want you to think about this as we leave. If sin is just breaking God's rules, like God made these rules, and he's kind of a stickler, so if you break them, he will punish you. If that were the case, why in the world would he offer his son, like pay such a huge price to try to save you from the consequences of breaking his rules? It makes no sense. But what if that this verse is right? What if sin is actually just things that will kill you? Maybe not physically, but spiritually and mentally and relationally, financially. What if sin is just dangerous? And God cared so much that he sent his son to rescue us from that problem that every one of us have. Let's pray. Dear God, we are grateful for this truth. And God, we're grateful for it because we are all sinners. God, just like we've all sort of missed a lie and we've all just couldn't spot a lie this morning. God, we've all fallen for lies in our life. We've all sinned. And so God, we thank you that you sent your son Jesus to remedy that. And God, I just pray that everyone in this room would not fall for this lie, but God, that their eyes would be open and they would begin to become wise and understand how sin works and understand how life works and understand how great life can be without these terrible dangers that we all give into. In your name we pray, amen.